We are told that as the apostles began to preach, people thought that they might be drunk because they were seeing and hearing strange things. And St. Peter tells them that no, this is not the case. In fact, what you're experiencing is the fulfillment of what was spoken by the prophet Joel. That is, that your sons and daughters will prophesy and your old men will dream dreams and all these other things. And he talks about the signs and wonders in the heavens above and on earth, and he talks about blood and fire and vapor, and the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes. So we saw that essentially in the crucifixion of our Lord. The sun was darkened in the middle of the day. It wasn't a typical eclipse. The longest that an eclipse can happen is about 8 minutes. And this was darkened for 3 hours. On top of that, it was Passover, which means that it was a full moon. And it is not possible to have an eclipse when there's a full moon. So scientifically, it makes no sense. But when we look at it spiritually, we understand this is one of the signs that God has provided. It is going to happen again. Maybe not the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as it was on Pentecost, so that everybody would be speaking and so on in all these ways, but rather the signs in the sky, because that's exactly what Jesus tells us to watch for when the end comes. And we are told that this is going to happen before the day of the Lord. So we've talked about that before. The day of the Lord is any time when God intervenes in history in a particular way. So we're looking specifically at the life of our Lord. A day of the Lord was the day of the Annunciation. It's the day of the Incarnation. It was a day of the Lord on Christmas. It was a day of the Lord on Good Friday. It was a day of the Lord on Easter Sunday. Now it's a day of the Lord on Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit is manifest, who is God. Once again, God entering into the world in a profound way, intervening in the events of the world so that people could be brought to the truth. We need today to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to have another Pentecost. That can only happen once. Just like there can only be one resurrection, we can't say, well, we'll have another Easter coming. It's like, no, we're not going to have another Easter coming. Neither are we going to have another Pentecost. But the Holy Spirit is already among us, and we need to pray that there will be an outpouring somehow among the people who didn't have the Holy Spirit, as we hear in the second reading. They were afraid. The apostles used to gather in Solomon's portico, but the people were afraid because of all the authorities and so on. They didn't want to join them, and yet they held them in such great esteem, such that when Peter would walk down the street, they would bring the sick out so that maybe even his shadow would pass over the sick person, and the person could be healed. And so again, you see that the Holy Spirit was working in the lives of these people, even though the outpouring was not upon them yet. We hear about it among a variety of different people in the Acts of the Apostles, but on some of these that had not happened yet. They hadn't been baptized. And so they still had that faith. They still could hope that at least the people could be healed if St. Peter's shadow would pass over them. So you can see the Holy Spirit working in their lives, even though they weren't yet possessed of the Holy Spirit. That's what we have to be praying for, because there are lots and lots of people who have been baptized, who have been given the gift of the Most Holy Trinity to dwell within them, and they have rejected it. They've walked away. I think with most of these people, because of the crisis that we have in catechesis today, it's not being done maliciously. They don't know. They've never been taught. And so if our Lord spoke the truth, and he cannot speak anything but the truth, he told us that the Holy Spirit is going to be given to lead us into the truth. So if these people have never been taught the truth, then we need to pray that something is going to happen in their hearts to open them, to bring them to the truth. Maybe we're not going to have somebody like St. Peter walking down the streets and people bringing out the sick, but that's because in our day that's not what's necessary. But God is going to intervene in a particular way. We don't know exactly how that's going to be. Who, if you were alive 2,000 years ago, would have thought, hey, we've got days of the Lord coming. Why did I write one right after that? I mean, these things can be centuries apart. And they had several of them within a couple of months. So if you were alive in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, would you have been saying, hey, look on the calendar. Friday's coming. There's going to be a day of the Lord. There's a crucifixion coming up. And then on Sunday, there's going to be another one. He's going to rise from the dead. And then 50 days later, there's going to be another one because the Holy Spirit's going to come down. None of us would have guessed that. Even when the apostles were told what was going to happen, they didn't guess it. So there's no way anyone could have figured out that here's how the day of the Lord's going to work. We don't know how it's going to happen in our day either. But it's going to happen. Because as this apostasy continues, as I've mentioned, we have a material apostasy that's been going on for years now, and it's picking up more and more steam as we go along. We still don't have the formal apostasy. That has to happen from the top. They're working on it. It's coming. But it's just not here just yet. So we don't have that yet. But we've got all these people that are walking away from the Lord. Jesus told us in the gospel reading that he's the bread of life. If we will come to him, we will have life. Anyone who eats of his body and drinks his blood, they have life. These people were given the Holy Spirit. Many of them have received Holy Communion, and they've still walked away from him. But how much our Lord loves these people. They are members of his mystical body. He doesn't want to see them lost. He wants them to be brought to salvation. And so before the day of the Lord, and you can go back and look in the book of the prophet Malachi, before the day of the Lord, God is going to send his messenger to turn the hearts of the children back to their father. The warning is going to be given to people, just as John the Baptist preceded our blessed Lord. There were things that were happening to tell the people that something was coming. God is going to work in however way, whatever way he chooses. But we have to be prepared. Because when this happens, people like you and me have to be ready to point people to where the confessional is, to teach them how to go to confession. How many people who've been baptized Catholic have never even been to confession? And so we need to teach them. The Protestants who have been baptized are going to want to go to confession, because the grace of the Holy Spirit that's going to be given to them is going to help them to recognize that what they've been taught is a bunch of lies. Yes, there is truth in what they've been taught, but there's a bunch of lies. And that they need to get to confession to have their sins forgiven. They can't lay on their bed and have a feeling about it. They need to confess their sins. And they will know that. But they won't even know exactly what it means. They'll know they have to get to a priest, and they'll know that they have to confess their sins. They don't know how. Do we have the charity to teach them? Do we have the charity to bring them, to be able to say, here's where you'll find a priest? Of course, at that point, it should be pretty easy. It's like, just look for the line. But nonetheless, do we have the charity to walk them through? Our Lord speaks of the Blessed Sacrament of the Gospel. Do we have the charity to point these people to Jesus? They believe in him. They believe in his word. And then they refuse to believe what he said. So they don't fully believe in the Word of God, but they believe in the Word of God. So can we help them to see the fullness? Do we have that kind of charity again? That's where we're headed. This is all going to happen before God intervenes in the world. And regardless of what the nonsense that came out of the Vatican last week said, read the Bible. There are lots of prophecies about chastisements that are there. So the idea that heaven never says anything about chastisement, that's a clear sign that this can't be from God. If there's anything in there about chastisement, it's like, really? You've not read the prophets? So yeah, it's coming. But before the chastisement happens, everybody on the face of the earth is going to be given an opportunity to turn their hearts to Christ. You and I already have this gift. Now we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us so that we can be there to help these people, that we can point them in the right direction, that we can help them. That is the gift that God is going to be giving. Yeah, it'll be a bit of a burden. But you look back in the Acts of the Apostles, they baptized 5,000 people in one day. Can you imagine how long that took? Talk about a burden trying to do that. Look at what Moses had to deal with. 1.5 million people for 40 years wandering around in the desert, a bunch of whiners and complainers. He even got to the point that I can't carry these people anymore. So yeah, maybe it'll be a bit of a hardship. But that's the charity that God is asking. Can we die to ourselves in order, out of charity, to help someone else? And at that point, it is going to be desperate on these people's part. And maybe God is going to use you to be able to help to guide them. What a blessing. So maybe we're not going to have a St. Peter that people can just put their sick out there, because maybe you're the St. Peter that they're going to come to and say, I'm sick in the soul. I need the physician. I need to have my sins forgiven. I need Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. I need the truth. We have it all. That's what we can do. So right now, yeah, people will think we're weird, and they're not going to want to be around us. But when the Holy Spirit intervenes, when the day of the Lord comes, people are going to not only hold us in respect, they're going to want what we have. So you have to be willing to show them. It has to begin now, otherwise people won't even know to look to you. But live it. Bring it into the world. Show the world by the way that you live. You have the Lord. That's the gift that God has given. That's what we're celebrating in a particular way. But now we can look forward to this glorious day that is on the way. We don't know exactly when it's coming. It's coming. And we just need to be prepared. Let the Holy Spirit blow as he will. And let him lead us so that we can lead others to Jesus.